Now,
the rest of the story. When Tony's superiors learned what had happened, they could hardly believe their ears. Tony had been arrested, and the crime of which he was accused was the rape and the savage beating of a prostitute. The woman was near death, and Tony was in deep trouble. That makes the outcome of his predicament all the more incredible, because the hooker survived, Tony was released from custody, and his superiors merely filed the report away. Tony was neither fired nor even disciplined for what he had done because, you see, Tony was working for us, for the United States Defense Intelligence Agency. He was in training as a spy for us. And he was so promising as a spy that the DIA simply could not afford to send him away. But could they afford to keep him? Well, Tony first attracted the attention of the United States intelligence community when he was only a second-year military academy cadet, and he did so by secretly snitching on fellow cadets, even on officers and instructors whom he suspected of participating in subversive activities. The DIA eagerly accepted any information that Tony had to offer, and soon the ambitious young cadet found himself being groomed for covert operations. He learned quickly, almost too quickly for one his age. A phenomenon perhaps explained by the fact that even the DIA was unaware that Tony had a well-connected brother who had doctored his birth certificate. Tony was 4 years past the acceptable age to enter the military academy. He came in through the back door. But in any event, the DIA's fledgling spy was considered virtually inexpendable from the beginning. Why else would his superiors have looked the other way when Tony raped and nearly killed that woman in 1960? As a matter of fact, I can't prove this, but I suspect that they actually helped him off the hook. At any event, we do know that within 7 years, Tony would actually become the first agent to organize and to direct a United States intelligence service in his region. He directed a spy network which eventually gathered more secret information than officials had ever dared to hope for. But Tony, this master of United States intelligence education, this student of our spy school, eventually became a Frankenstein monster because in 1976, our CIA learned that Tony was actually spying on his own colleagues. He was spying on us, on American operatives. He was unearthing top secret information which he planned later to put on the market. A double agent, sure enough. So Tony was dumped from the payroll. He was cut loose from United States intelligence. But by then it was too late. Now, the next time you hear repeated, and you'll hear this in today's newspaper or tomorrow's, what a problem this fellow has become, I want you to remember that we taught him how. That we are at least partly to blame, at least partly responsible for creating the monster the masterpiece became. The man whom friends used to call Tony. There are fewer of those friends than ever these days, for the promising and productive American-trained spy has now become the brutal Panamanian dictator, Manuel Antonio Noriega. And now you know the rest of the story.